We're holding on $9 on the base, five lines from the bottom. Okay. We've been talking about Psuli Koho or Psuli Kahuna. We've been talking back and forth about those. So now more discussion about that and how it relates to the dinim as far as who Kohanim are allowed to marry. Tanarabanan. Ventesha Shanim Yemechad, a boy, anything from above the age of 9, which, as we learned in Yevamos and sporadically since then, once he's 9 years old, then his bia is considered to have, is considered to be a bia, right? Considered to have effect in halacha. Whether he's a ger amoni or mayavi, whether he's a ger from amon or mayav, which, as we said yesterday, he's also love of a call, mitzri v'adomi, or whether he's a ger from mitzrayim or adom during the first two generations, kursi, or kursi, which we'll talk about later on, v'nothin, cholo, or mamzer, all of them, shabor ala kehenes v'ala levi of al bas Yisrael, if they had relations with a bas koy and a bas levi or bas Yisrael, pasluah, they passled her. Well, not passled her in the sense, no, we're not even talking about the children. We're talking about what happens to her. She's passled. Well, if she's a bas koy, it means she's passled to truma anymore. And the Rishonim argue whether in these various cases, is it that she's considered a zoyna or is it that she's considered a halal? One way of looking at it is with most of these cases, and Amman's way of looking at it, if I remember correctly, is that all the ones where it's oser, love of a call, for example, the Ammoni or Mayavi or the Mamzer or the Nasin or the rest of them, then it makes her a zoyna. Only in the case of a halal, it makes her a halal. It's not really necessarily a practical difference in halacha, but it's more along the lines of under what issur does she become osur? Under the fact that she's a zoyna or the fact that she's halal, both of which are also to claim.
Only tekayim.
Right. Well, and also if she's a bas koyin, that she becomes possible pitzura. So the Rambam holds that in many of these cases she's a zoyna. The Raivad and other Rishonim hold that in all these cases she'd just be a halal.
Why they didn't also make an issue to go to with a Levi or an Israel?
That's what we're saying. No, there is. We're saying that if she's a Bas Levi or Bas Israel, the Truma is not relevant, but the point is she becomes also to ever marry a Kohen. Either
because just a Kohen, not a Levi or an Israel.
Fine, because why should she be? Why should she be also from marrying them? She had relations with somebody who's also to her, so.
So she had a relation with someone who's out of the Kohen. She shouldn't be allowed to go back.
No, that's not how it works. No.
Why not?
Because that's not how it works. It just means that she's possible to marry a Kohen. That's how it is. Rav Yossi says the rule is a little different. Kol Shazare possible place. So anybody who is descendants, anybody whose children would be possible to marry a Kohen, poisel, then he himself, if he has relations with a woman, possible her from marrying a Kohen. But Kol Shain Zare possible any possible. Whereas if his children are not possible, then he doesn't possible her. Which the Gemara will talk about what's the difference. It seems like he's just restating the same thing as the Tanakhama, just in different words. And Rabbi Shimon Gamli Olaimer, a third way of looking at it, Kol Sha'at Noise Bite At Noise Almanase, any kind of person who a Kohen would be allowed to marry his daughter, then a Kohen is also allowed to marry his Amana. Whereas if you're not allowed to marry his daughter, you're not allowed to marry because his daughter would be considered a halala or a zoyna or what have you, then you're not allowed to marry his almana, her mother, either, for the same reason. So, again, it kind of sounds as though the three Tanoim are just stating the same thing in other words. They're just putting the rule differently. So the Gemara is going to first talk about the difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi, and then a few lines later we'll talk about what the difference is between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We'll see that each of them is actually saying something subtly different. So the first one, my ikka ben Tanakhama or ben Rabbi Yossi, what is the practical difference between the Tanakhama's rule where he gave the list of all of these people who are also, most of whom are also love of a kahal, except for the halal who's not also love of a kahal, but he's a halal, so he makes his wife a halala, versus Rabbi Yossi's rule that depends whether his children are possible with Gohona or not. What's the difference? The nafkamina between them would be, what about a second generation Mitzri convert? Namely, if we think about it, the second generation Mitzri is himself is also love of a kahal. Yes. Therefore, under the Tanakhama's rule, he would make his wife a zoyna or halala, as the case may be, and make her possible to truma or to marry a kohen. on the other hand, if you look at it from Rabbi Yossi's point of view, Rabbi Yossi is saying kosher zarei kosel. Well, his children aren't kosel. His children will be third generation Mitzrim who are mutter lover b'kol, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, it wouldn't be a problem. Mitzri Sheni would not make his wife would not possible his wife.
Generation Mitzri would be possible himself.
He himself is possible, but his children are not. His children are not. Well, everybody agrees to that concept, but Rabbi Yossi is saying based on that, that's what we use to determine whether his bia makes a woman possible the kahuna. Well, then, that's the criterion we use is look at the status of the child. Well, in this case, the status of the child is they are mutter to enter into the congregation. They're mutter to marry any bas koyin or bas levi or bas Yisrael. But after all, they're a third generation mitzri. Therefore, the father, the second generation mitzri, does not possible the mother, the wife from Korona. And the Gemara says, "Ushneim lo lamdu elam b'koyin gadol ba'amana." Now, actually, both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi are actually both learning it from the concept, from the case where the Torah tells us that a koyin gadol is not allowed to marry an amana, and we know, as we'll talk about later on Ayin Zayin, that if a koyin gadol does have relations with an amana, that if a koyin gadol does marry an amana and have relations with her, then he's mechalal her. He made her a chalal by doing that. And she will then be also to marry any other Kohen, meaning if up until now she was an Amona and she could have married any Kohen other than a Kohen Gadol. Now that she becomes a Chalola, since the Kohen Gadol had relations with her and he was also too, then therefore she's now also to marry any Kohen. Now we know there's that concept. So both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi are using that as a binyanav, as a paradigm for all the other cases about all the other cases where a certain woman is also to marry a kohen. Namely, the Tanakhama figures like this: ki kohen gadol ba'amana. Fine, we're going to compare all the other cases to a kohen gadol ba'amana. Therefore, ma kohen gadol ba'amana should be osse ba'avera. Therefore, consider the case of a kohen gadol having relations with an amana should be osse ba'avera. The bia is an avera because the Torah tells us it's allowed, but he's not allowed to.
She becomes a halala.
Upoisel ba, and he makes her apostle. She becomes a halala thereby.
Not the children also?
Doesn't matter. We're not even talking about the children. The Tanakhama is saying, forget about the children. She herself becomes a halala. That's the key thing over here. As kol should be also by avera poisel. So therefore, the Tanakhama argues, by the same logic, anybody else who there's an avera involved in his bia would also apostle her from kohuna. Well, therefore, that's all the examples of the Tanakhama gave, including, therefore, the Mitzri Sheni. Again, the Mitzri Sheni himself, there is an Isser, and it's only an Isser Esser, fine, but it's still an Isser, for him to marry a Bat Yisrael. Therefore, just like with a Kohen Gadol and Amana, where he makes her apostle, he makes her a Halala, the same thing a Mitzri Sheni or all the other examples that we have here would make a Bat Yisrael or what have you, would make her a Halala or a Zona, as the case may be, and make her also to marry a Kohen, and if she's a Bat Kohen, to eat Yisrael.
When would she become a Zona as opposed to a Halala?
So according to, so that's the thing. It's machlokes between the Rambam and the Raizer. The Rambam holds that pretty much all the cases where there's an Isser involved would make her a Zona, except for in the case of a Halal. A Halal is perfectly allowed to marry a Bat Yisrael. There's no Isser involved, but he makes her a Halala. According to the Ravid and a number of others, according to the Rambam, pretty much all cases where there's an actual Isser involved would make her a Zona, regardless whether it's an Isser Esser, Loisesser, Koris, Mrs. Dastin, or something where Kiddushin are not Shayach, like we talked about, for example, she has relations with a Goy. According to the Rambam, pretty much all those would make her a Zona. Only the case where she was married to a Cholo, where there's no Isser involved, a Cholo is allowed to marry her. Or I think also the Rambam says maybe also in the case of a Kohen Gadol marrying an Amon, I'm not sure about that point. But those cases she becomes a Halala, but that's about it. And then
it's the same implication as a Halala.
Right. I mean, they're both also to a Kohen. I mean, one difference would be, but one difference would be, we talked about in the past the concept of Ein Isser Halal, so that one Isser is not able to come on top of another Isser unless it's an Isser Koilel or Isser Moisif or Isser Batachas. The Gemara talks about that in many different places. It's actually in Shlosha Prakim of Rambam these days talking about that concept that you can have. Sometimes a person does one Isser and their one action and they're over on multiple Averis thereby. Here, for example, if a woman is already considered a Zayna, for example, then it's not possible for her to also become a Halala. So it's not possible then in that case for, let's say, for a Kohen, who then has relations with her, to get double malchus, one for Zona, one for Halala. Whereas if she was Halala, and it doesn't matter. Either way, the children are Halala. But the point, no, it's a difference of malchus, though. It's a difference of...
Okay, but it's not for malchus.
No, but that's a difference. I mean, it's a difference also of how many malchus, but it's also a difference when they warn him, where a person can only get malchus if Adam warn him, right? Same as Mrs. Bates did. They have to warn him about the issue that he's doing. So they would have to give him the proper warning. This, if you marry this woman, you're going to be over on the issue of Zona, and you're going to get malchus on that basis. If you marry this woman, you're going to be the usual, for the usual, 39 malchus. Yes, the halala, same thing. They're both Yisurim and Atara, yeah. But which one? If they told him that it's going to be an Issu Zona, and really she's not a Zona, but rather a halala, then you can't give him Malchus.
So Zona is going to get 40 lashes?
Not her. We're not talking about her herself. We're talking about the Kohen. I mean, her herself also. The Kohen. Regardless whether it was a Zona or halala, he'll still get the same lashes. But again, the same way as, for example, if a person is about to break Shabbos and the Edim tell him, don't do that because that's Avodah Zorah, and if you do, you're going to be Chayav Misa.
Right.
Doesn't matter. He may have broken Shabbos, but it doesn't matter. They gave him the wrong warning.
Right. So,
same thing. Same thing then. If the same thing applies to Zona and halala. If he's about to have relations with halala and they tell him, don't, she's a Zona, and a Zona is also to you, and you'll get Malchus, and he goes and does it anyway. When they come to Beis Din will say, wait, she wasn't a Zona, she was a Halala. You gave him the wrong warning. You throw out the whole case.
And then what happens?
He doesn't get an office. That's the point. So it becomes important to know what the issue is. Anyway, that's according to
that case.
Well, that, and like I say, also, I guess in the case where you have one issue coming on top of another. Anyway, the point is that Rambam holds most of these cases would make her a Zona. The Ravid would hold that a Zona, that she only becomes a Zona if the issue involved Koris or Mrs. Beis Din. So an Eishes Ish, for example, being Mizana, would make her a Zona. A man has relations with a sister, or other close relative, she would become a Zona. But for example, a Grusha marrying a Koyan, according to the Ravid, would make her a Halala, not a Zona. Anyway, so getting back to this then, so the Tanakama figures, the same way as, again, with an Amona and a Kohen Gadol, the focus is on her, what happens to her, she becomes also to marry Kohenim, and she becomes also to go back to eating Truma from her father's house, therefore you focus on her. Therefore, as the guy himself is also love of a Kohol, doesn't matter what the status of the children will be, that's the key thing. Therefore, Mitzri Sheni will also pass all her from Kohenim.
As opposed to
Rav Yosi Sava, where Rav Yosi figured, Rav Yosi from the Braita.
As opposed to
Tanakama. As opposed to Rav Yosi Sava, Ki Kohen Gadol Ba'amona. Again, you're right, let's compare it to a Kohen Gadol and an Amona. But what happens with a Kohen Gadol and an Amona? Ma Kohen Gadol Ba'amona Shazare Posel Posel. The key thing Rav Yosi focuses on, not that she herself becomes Posel. True, she does become Posel. But that the Zara becomes Posel. The Posel is Volo Yichalo Zara, that his children become Chalolim. So the same way we can make an analogy that any case where the children will be postal then he's postal. Well, La Poka Mitsu Sheni, Shane Zare Postal, as opposed to a Mitsu Sheni, where the children will not be postal. There'll be multiple call, Dharma Kruk. The Postal says, one Mashi Yavodalam Dershlishi, Yavalaham Bakalashem, that the third generation, the grandchildren of the original Ger, are allowed love of a call. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi would say that a Mitzri Sheni, even though it's true, is also for him to marry a Bat Yisrael. If he does, she does not become also to Kayan.
Why we didn't do the same thing with a Ger? Rather than say a Ger Sheni, these children are considered
Because a regular Ger, so fine, a regular Ger marries a woman. He doesn't make her part of Kahal Yisrael. Doesn't matter. He's part of the Kahal to the extent that, put it this way, the Kahal basically means the people who can freely intermarry among each other. Let's say, use that as a working definition. A ger is allowed to marry a bas levi or a bas yisrael. There's no issue involved. So
why we say he's not part of the kohol then?
We say he's not part of the kohol in the sense that he's not fully part of the kohol, therefore he can marry a mamzeret. But his bia does not passel. He's not like a kohol. His bia does not passel a woman from kohona. If a ger marries a woman and then he dies, she's allowed to marry a kohen.
In that sense, he's part of the kohol. In which
yeah. In the sense he's not part of the Kohol, in the sense that he's allowed to marry a Mamzeret.
That's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
And he doesn't have a Chalik marriage as well.
Well, that also, but that's a different matter. That's not relevant to our discussion, but yeah. Okay. So fine. So we've explained the difference between the Tanakama and Rav Yosi. Next. We said Rav Shimon Gamliel lo mekol she'at noisa bita at noisa amanah. So Rav Shimon Gamliel put the rule differently. Anybody who you would be allowed to marry his daughter, you're also allowed to marry his amanah. So now you have to ask, so now what's the difference between him and Rabbi Yossi? You're going to say the difference is as far as a mitzvi sheni, but that's Rabbi Yossi already is saying that a mitzvi sheni is not a problem. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel seems to be saying the same. Right? Is he saying no to bitter? Yeah, what's the difference? Yeah, so what's the difference? Well, that's the answer. Nafkamina between them would be, what about a ger from Ammon or Moab? Doesn't matter what generation, again, because as long as it's a male, it doesn't matter what generation he is. Again, we would say that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they both, like the Tanakhama, learn it from the case of Kohen Gadol with Amana. And the reason, by the way, why they're using the Kohen Gadol with the Amana specifically as the analogy for it is because that's the case where the Torah uses the expression v'lo yichalo. By a regular Kohen marrying Grusha or Halala or Zaina, the Torah doesn't use the expression v'lo yichalo. It doesn't use any such expression about chilu. Only by a Kohen Gadol and an Amana, that's why we're using that as a basis to determine what's considered chilu. So therefore, so again, Rabbi Yossi takes the view that we can compare it to a Kohen Gadol with an Amana as follows. Like we said before, Ma Kohen Gadol ba'amana shazare posel uposel. His children are posel l'kohuna, and posel l'kohuna, and actually, if they're boys, they're posel in the kohol in general. No, it doesn't matter. No, we're talking about, in other words, we're talking about a ger from Ammon and Moab. A ger from Ammon and Moab. So, before we get to the Ger from Ammon and Moab, a Kohen Gadol was saying if he marries an Amana, any children that they have are halal. Zarei posel, his children are posel, uposel, and that those children, if he has any boys, would also posel a woman in the sense that if a halal, that if this child, if a Kohen Gadol and the Amana marries a woman, a regular Bat Yisrael, she becomes a halala and is also to marry a Kohen.
Is he considered a Kohen?
No, he's not a Kohen. The same thing, any case where the children are posel will also posel a woman. Therefore, ger from Ammon and Moab, since his children are posel, in the sense that his sons will be posel, will be also love of a kahal as well, because they're male, Ammonian, may all be good for him. Not halalos. No, forget halalos. The fact that he's a ger from Ammon and Moab, that's transmitted from generation to generation in the male line. Therefore, also posel. Therefore, the original ger himself from Ammon or Moab, or any of his male descendants, same thing. If they marry a woman, they posel her from Kohana. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. Whereas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would argue again to Kohen Gadol ba'amana. Fine, I agree with you. We have to learn it from Kohen Gadol and Amana. However, Ma Kohen Gadol ba'amana shekol darei posel. However, what do you consider with a Kohen Gadol marrying an Amana, all the children of male and female are posel. Yeah. All of them are posel in the sense, meaning, in other words, if it's boy, again, if it's a boy, then he's a halal, and if he marries a woman, she becomes a halala, and if it's a girl, she herself is a halala, and also to marry a kohen. Afkol shazari posel, so afkol shakol zari posel, the same thing. You can only include cases where all the children will be posel. Afilu nekevis, meaning even girls. La poki ger amoni amayavi, as opposed to a ger from Ammon and Moab, the nekevis have a kshedus love of a call, where the women are kosher to enter the congregation, to marry a ben Yisrael. Drama Meir is a famous thing that we learned in Yavamas, amoni v'lay amonis, mayavi v'lay mayavi. So therefore, the Shem Gamliel said, you cannot compare a ger from Ammon and Moab to a Kohen Gadol with an Amana. So yes, a ger from Ammon or Moab, there is a lav on him marrying a Bat Yisrael. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, based on the analogy that we're doing with Almana and the Kohen Gadol, you cannot say that he thereby makes his wife posel from ever marrying a Kohen. Yes, his wife still is kosher to marry a Kohen, Rav Shimon Gamliel would say. And if he dies, then she's an Almana, and she's an Almana who has not become a Zoyner or a Chalala. Therefore, good, she can marry a Kohen. Whereas Rav Yossi and the Tanakhama would disagree with that. Incidentally, you know, in tonight's like Vayomer, and that means coming up the Shavuot soon, Amoni Vayomer, Mayavi Vayomer, of course, is very relevant to Shavuot. It's, you know, the whole story of Ruth. I saw actually one interesting, you know, there's many reasons that are given why we read Megillah to Ruth on Shavuot. Of course, there's the famous reason because David is descended from Ruth and Shavuot is his Yartzai because at Matan Torah we all became Gerim just like she did, and many, many other reasons. I saw another interesting reason today.
The first day of Shavuot is Yom Tov?
Yes. No, the second, actually. No, it's brought, actually, it's brought in one of the sikhas of the Rebbe Rashab, I think, that between, they weren't sure at the beginning, between David HaMelech and the Baal Shem Tov, which one was Nifter the first day and which one the second day, but eventually they figured out, based on the days of the week, that the Baal Shem Tov was Nifter the first day, and therefore, by elimination, David must have been the second day. Which, by the way, I mean, there were 2 days of Shavuos in David HaMelech's time. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. But the point is that the Shavuos itself, we know, is not always a fixed day in the calendar. It's the 50th day of Sphira, regardless whether that comes out the 5th, 6th, or 7th of Sivan. So it so happened that in the year that David HaMelech was Nifter, Shavuos, the 1 day of Shavuos in Eretz Yisrael was on the 7th of Sivan. That's the idea. Anyway, I saw an interesting vote today. That's another reason why we read, why the minhag is to read Megillah Suras on Shavuos. By the way, our minhag is not to read it publicly, but we say it as part of Tikkun Leil Shavuos. But another reason is because of we're saying that the basis for her being allowed to marry Boaz and eventually be the great grandmother of David is this halacha of Amoni v'lay Amonis. Well, that's part of Torah Shabbat Peh. So we read it specifically on Shavuos to stress the importance of Torah Shabbat Peh. So that's the three-way machloikas then about which men would tackle a woman from Corona. So now, further on this, Amar of Chista, Hakol Moedim, all three opinions in this Braisa would agree Ba'al Monas Issa Shepsula LeKorona, that Al Monas Issa would be possible to marry a Kohen. What is Al Monas Issa? So Rashi over here, we learned about it in Ksuvas. Rashi over here explains like this. We're talking about that her husband is a Suffolk Cholo. So her husband, we're not sure if he was a cholo or not. For example, I mean, imagine you have a case, for example, that a woman was suffolk megureshes, let's say, and then her husband died, and a kohen went and married her. So therefore, the child is a suffolk cholo, because we don't know whether his mother was a grusha or not. Now, this child grows up and marries. So now his wife is the almana of a suffolk cholo. Now,
his wife is the almana of a suffolk cholo.
Because he himself, the child of is a suffolk cholo. His wife is almana. May have been married to a cholo, maybe not. Issa, we learned now. We had Issa earlier in the parak. We had the idea Issa is like a dough, like everything mixed in. So Rashi explains over here that the vote is you have a sex seder. Now, in what sense is it a sex seder? On the face of it, you only have one suffolk. Is he a cholo or not? So various Rishonim explain that what Rashi means to say is that the suffolk is on him. There's only one suffolk, fine, but the suffolk is not the suffolk is sort of being extended to her. So it's not a sex fake in the usual sense of one suffolk on top of another suffolk. What we really mean, according to Rashi, is that we have a suffolk on him, and we're sort of trying to transfer the suffolk to her. That's a weaker kind of suffolk, sort of.
So if he had, was a suffolk cholo, she becomes.
So if he put it this way, if he was a bad cholo, she would be a cholo. If he wasn't a cholo, she would be mutter. He's a suffolk cholo. Therefore, we consider, in her case, it's considered a sfek sfek. So Rashi explains, we consider it a sfek sfek. However, these three opinions in our braisa are all saying that despite the fact that it's only a sfek sfek, she's still also to marry a kohen. Which, as opposed to another opinion that we're going to quote in a minute, that says that she is allowed to.
Why did a sfek sfek?
That's the question. That's Tosfos asked on Rashi and Ksubas and then a number of other Rishonim. Ask on Rashi, why is it a sfek sfeika? You only have one suffolk. Is he a cholo or not? Yeah. And that's the answer. The answer is, it's true. Regarding him, there's only one suffolk. We're talking about, does the same suffolk that applies to him also transfer to her? In a way, it's kind of like the fact that you have to transfer it from one person to another weakens the suffolk. There, in that sense, it's considered, in that sense, it can be called a sfek sfeika.
What do you mean transfers to her?
But again, if he's a cholol, then she's a cholola. If not, then not. But the fact that the suffix on her is only because we don't know his status, Rashi says that makes it called a spec favor.
Whereas in a normal case, whereas
in a normal, where there is
a case of a cholol, a simple cholol,
then there's a vada, then we know she's a cholola. Now, because of this problem with understanding what spec favor means in that regard, there's a number of other explanations what it means spec favor in this case. Rashi himself in Ksugos gives a different scenario with a sfek sfeika. The gist of it, if I remember correctly, is something along the lines of imagine you start out with a case of again a woman who's suffolk megureshes, then her husband dies. Now on top of that, let's say we have another suffolk. She goes and marries a kohen. within 3 months of her husband's, of her ex-husband's death, she has a baby. As we learned in Yavamas, we can't be sure if that baby is from the first husband or from the second husband. So then you have a suffix. Then you have a suffix on top of the suffix. First of all, is she a, first of all, is she a grusha or not? And second of all, if she's a grusha, is the child from the Kohen, in which case is a cholol, or not? Is he from the first husband? And in that case, he's not a cholol. He's not a Kohen, maybe either, but he's not the cholol. Yeah. So that's how Rashi explains it over there. Yeah.
I don't see why it's so
strange. Right. Okay. Then Tosfos over there talks about a different possibility that Almanas Issa is talking about. You have a family. Somewhere in that family there is a cholol. We're not sure which person in this family is the cholol. Now one of the men in that family dies, and his wife is now wanting to marry a kohen. So it's Almanas Issa in the sense the whole family is like an Issa, because we don't know. Somewhere in there there's a cholol. We can't be sure. Not the cholol. Suffolk cholol. So then also you have a spectator. First of all, was the guy really a cholol or not? Is anybody in this family really a cholol or not? Second of all, even if somebody was really a cholol, is it this guy who died, whose wife is now seeking to remarry? So that would be a different kind of spectator. Anyway, the point is that Rav Chisda is saying that all three opinions in our Braisa, the Tanakama, and Rav Yossi, and Rav Shimon Gamliel would all agree in the case of an Almanas Issa, whatever the scenario, whatever the different possibilities, what Almanas Issa is, that she is possible to marry a Kohen.
Midrabanan, that is.
Many Mepharshim talk about the possibilities in it, but yeah, I mean, the consensus seems to be that it's because Maila also the Yossin, that the Chachamim wanted to make a higher standard as far as Yossin.
Not up to
Torah. Maybe not. Okay. Why? How do we see that? Man Mekel Bahani Tanoi, because after all, among these three Tanoim, who is the one who is most Mekel? Rav Shimon Gamliel, because he says even a Ger Amoni or Mayavi who marries a woman doesn't pass her. Vika Amar, and yet he says, Kosha at the Nois Bite at the Nois Amana. So anybody who you would be allowed to marry, the daughter you're allowed to marry an Amana. Vachoshi at the Nois Bite at the Nois Amana. So, and if you can't marry the daughter, you can't marry an Amana. Lama Uti Mai. Now, what would Rav Shimon Gamliel be implying by that statement that anybody who can't marry the daughter, you can't marry the Amana? Lamorti, Amana's Issa, Shapsula Lakona. He must be being Mamayat and Amana's Issa. Where, even if we were to argue that, because if we could argue that she's a sex faker, fine, but the fact of the matter is, on top of that, you have an even worse problem with the daughter. Even if we say that the mother, let's say, has a cheskes kashrus, that at one time she was kasher l'kohuna, after all, she wasn't born a halala, the daughter has no such chazaka. She may have been born a halala. So even if we were to say that the Almanas Issa herself is kasher l'kohuna, the daughter is not. Therefore, that is what Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying. Precisely because of that, because the daughter... But again, the idea is, just like we talked about yesterday or the day before, that the mother, we may argue, has a chazaka, that at one point she was kosher, and therefore we should assume that she's still kosher, unless we know that the daughter doesn't, because she may have been born a halala, yes. So that's the thing. Rav Shimon Gamliel would say, because the daughter is also the kahuna, because she doesn't even have a chazaka of her own, therefore that transfers back to the mother, and therefore this Almanas Issa, even though it's only a spek seka, and you would think to argue that
the daughter is
from the mother, but transfers back because that's his rule. If you can marry if a kohen can marry the daughter, then he's allowed to marry the mother. If he can't marry the daughter, he can't marry the mother. Well, in this case, he can't marry the daughter. Therefore, it transfers back, and he can't marry the mother. Which the Gemara says, now what Rav Chisda is telling us is he's telling us that these three Tanoim of our Braisa, including Rav Shimon Gamliel, disagree with the following Tanoim. Namely, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Adius, Hayed Rav Yeshua Rav Yehudavan to say, Almanas is a Shakshero Kohana. They gave Adius that this Almanas is kosher to marry a Kohen. My time, or what's their reason? Have a sex say? Rav Yeshua and Rav Yehudavan to say. After all, the reason in my time I have a spek sveka, because the bottom line is a spek sveka or spek sveka lakula, and the usual rule is that a spek sveka were makel. Therefore, in this case, we should be makel also.
As opposed to, again, Rav
Shimon Gamliel and the other Tanoim here, the Tanakama and Rav Yossi, who would be machmer on it?
Yeah.
I didn't think to look it up, actually, but I mean, the letter over here, the letter from Ein Mishpat, is on Rav Chisda's Hakol Moedim Shepsula Lakona. Which actually would be rather unusual. Usually we say the halacha is like a Mishnah in Adius. Usually we say that if something is brought in a Mishnah in Adius, usually the halacha is like it.
So in which case
the mother would be allowed to marry a kohen. But here we seem to be say here we seem to hear here it seems that the halacha is paskin and not. Like I said, I didn't look it up ahead of time to see, but that's the same. The vote may be that maybe what Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira would be saying midaraisa is fine because after all it's a sect thinker, but at midrabanan maybe even also. But on the other hand, myla also be yuchdin. The other tanoi you might argue that fine, technically it should be allowed because only a sect thinker. However, myla also be yuchdin. We want to make higher standards when it comes to yuchdin. Therefore, we'll ask it on that basis. Could be, I don't know. Now, our Mishnah had said, Badon b'Badon Mutter, that we had three opinions in our Mishnah. The Tanakhama in our Mishnah had said that all the ones who are also lover b'kohol mutter and lover zebizeh, and we went back and forth discussing what that means exactly until we finally concluded, Rava told us that it meant that basically they're arguing what the definition of a mamzer is. Then we had Rabbi Yehuda said that they're osur, and we established that means Rabbi Yehuda says that he has a narrower definition of mamzer than Tanakhama does. Then we had Rabbi Eliezer said that Vadon, Rabbi Eliezer says, or Rabbi Eliezer maybe, that he says, he argues with the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah had said that, for example, a mamzer, a nosin, a shsuki, and a sufi are all allowed to marry with each other. Rabbi Eliezer had said that no, only a Vadai is allowed to marry a Vadai. For example, one Mamzer can marry another Mamzer, or one Nothin can marry another Nothin. But a Vadai cannot marry a Sophic, and a Sophic cannot marry a Sophic.
Who can a Sophic marry?
We said yesterday, a Sophic can marry a Ger. But a Ger, remember, that's it. Yeah, or an Eved Meshuffer, yeah. An Eved Meshuffer, yeah. So that's what
according to
Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah.
So, according to
the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, it would not be that way. That would be the previous mission and the same. So, Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rab, Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. So, Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Rab that yes, Halacha is Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, for example, a Shesuki can't marry a Mamzer or vice versa. And Rabbi Yehuda continues, Ki Amrita Kamei Yishmuel. When I told over this statement of Rab, when I told it over to Shmuel, Amali said, how is that possible? Hillel Shoina, Hillel taught a Braise as follows. That the 10 yuchsin came up from Babel and all of them are allowed to intermarry. Now, it doesn't mean literally all of them. Obviously, we can't, it doesn't mean if, for example, a Kohen or a Levi, you still can marry a Mamzer. Rashi says it means that all the psulim among them are allowed to marry, are allowed to marry each other. Tosfos says that it means a little bit differently. It means that each one can marry within their own type. And then also, we would say, for example, Shesuki and Asufi, because they're a Sophic Mamzer, they're considered the same type as Mamzer. That's how Marsha explains it. So the Braita that Hillel taught is clearly saying, for example, that a Mamzer can marry a Shesuki. You're telling me the Halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer and our mission is they cannot? Now, why are we quoting Hillel's Braita rather than Rabbi Eliezer is saying a Mamzer cannot marry a Shesuki. Now why? If Hillel taught a Braisa. Now why are we quoting the Braisa rather than our Mishnah? A couple of Mepharshim talk about different possibilities. One of them is because if you just have the first truth, the first Mishnah in the Perek said that a Mamzer can marry a Shesuki, let's say. Mamzer and the city Shesuki, Asuki are all allowed to intermarry. However, that's fine. That's a Stam Mishnah. Then we have in our Mishnah, we have a Machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer says no. We know the rule is usually that if you have a Stam and then a Machlokas, then the Halacha is not like a Stam Mishnah. Therefore, the Gemara did not want to put in the Mishnah because you could say, oh, yeah, okay, that itself shows that the Halacha is not like the Mishnah. But if we have Zilol's Braisa, that makes it much stronger. That's one way of looking at it. The other way, that some of the Foshim say, is actually when we say Hillel taught, we don't mean a Braisa. We mean the original Mishnah at the beginning of our Perek. Yes, it's part of the regular Mishnayos. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi taught it. Rabbi Yehuda is descended from Hillel, and maybe even the formulation of the Mishnah goes back to Hillel. So therefore, like the Gemara is quoting it in that way to show how strong it is. That how can Rabbi Eliezer, how can you accept Rabbi Eliezer's opinion against that? Not how can he, but how can you accept Rabbi Eliezer's opinion against it? So you have a machlokes. So Rav is saying the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, and Shmuel is saying that no, the halacha is that a mamzer can marry a shtuki, etc. However, the Gemara says, "V'rami de Rav ad Rav, v'rami de Shmuel ad Shmuel." However, then we come out with a contradiction between two statements of Rav and a contradiction between two statements of Shmuel. It's not because we have another discussion. Arusa she'ibra. If you have a woman who's an arusa who became pregnant, where we don't know who the father is. Now, the father could be the arus, in which case, fine, they were over an iser. They were over an iser, but the child is kosher. Or the child could be from somebody else, in which case, all the other men in the world are also to her. Well, all the other men in the world are also tohu. However, the child would be a mamzer only if it was a yid. If it was a goy or an eved, the child would be said before. The child would be kosher. But anyway,
would he be a chal?
No. Well, we're not. He would be, if his father was a goy or an eved, he would be considered. He doesn't have a father, la-la-la, basically.
So
he wouldn't. There's not a question, chal or not. I mean, if it's a girl, yeah, she would be a girl. No, the woman herself, no, had relations with a girl you were never, no, for sure.
The daughter?
No, we said before that not.
She's not a
Kalala, but she's also, she's not me there yet. Rav Amar HaVlad Mamzer. So Rav says the child is considered a Mamzer, again, because everybody else in the world is also to her. The Roiv of the world are possible to her, after all, because the only one she's mutter to at this point is Rav Arus. Shmuel Amar Vlad Shtuki, whereas Shmuel says the child is considered a Shtuki. Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer, meaning Umutir B'Mamzer. Therefore, we consider it a Mamzer, even to the extent that he's allowed to marry a Mamzer. For Shmuel Amar Vlad Shtuki, but also B'Mamzer. Whereas Shmuel is saying that he's a Shtuki, therefore he's also to marry a Mamzer. Now, so that contradicts what we said before. We just said before, Rav said the halacha is like Rabbi Yezer, that a Mamzer cannot marry a Shtuki. Shmuel was saying the halacha is like the first Mishnah in our Perek, or like Hillel's Braisa, that they can. Here we're saying the other way around. Here we're saying that Shmuel is saying that Shtuki cannot marry a mamzer. The Gemara says April. You have to flip around. You have to flip around the two opinions in this case of Arusa Shebra. Rav Amar Vlad Shtuki or Shmuel Amar Vlad Mamzer. You would have to say it's the other way around. Rav is saying that the child would be considered a Shtuki. Therefore, Rav is being consistent and saying that since I hold the halachas like Rabbi Yazir, he can't marry a mamzer because he may or may not be a mamzer. And Shmuel would be saying we consider him definitely enough a mamzer that he's allowed to marry another mamzer. In the sense that, in other words, even though technically he's a shtuki, but after all, his father could be the arus. Nevertheless, he'll be allowed to marry him. He'll be allowed to marry a mamzer either way. Okay. Then in that case, you have to ask Tauki Lomali. Then in that case, why do Rav and Shmuel have to argue about it twice, whether the halacha is like Eliezer or not, and the case of Arusa Shemra? The answer is tzricha. De'i itmar b'ha, because if we only have the case in our Mishnah, you would say b'ha ka'amar Rav, that in that case Rav would say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yezer, that the shtuki is also to marry a mamzeret, where the mother was a pnuya, which again our Mishnah by assumption we would assume that the regular case of shtuki is where the mother is not an arusa, she's a pnuya. And she is hiding who the father is because he may or may not be a mamzer. As opposed to an arusa. So again, with a pnuya, most of the men in the world would not produce a mamzer with her because either most of the men in the world are goyim or avodim, or anyway the child's not a mamzer, or even according to the opinions that it is fine. But among Jews though, most people in the world are mutter to her. It's only her close relatives that are author. As opposed to an arusa, the other way around. Only her arusa is mutter to her, everybody else is author, yes. So, if we had only that case, the case of our Mishnah, you would say, b'ha ka'ma Rav. In our Mishnah, Rav is saying the halacha is like Rabbi Yezer. Mishum the roiv k'sheira metzla, because after all, the chances are, the odds are, that the one who she had relations with was a kosher, and therefore the child is not a mamzer. So therefore, you would have a very strong reason to say, in that case, fine, officially we're considering this child a shtuki because we don't know who his father is. Practically speaking, though, the high likelihood is, the majority likelihood is that his father was a kosher and therefore that he's a kosher. Don't allow him to marry a mamzer because you're going to have a kosher marrying a mamzer. So therefore, that we can understand Rav saying that. Aval hosam, but in the case of an arusa, the roif sulametzah, where after all, most people in the world would be possible to her, and if she had relations with anybody except for, with any Jew except for her arus, the child is a mamzer. You would argue maybe he agrees with Shmuel, but in that case, the chances are so overwhelming that this child is a mamzer, let him go ahead and marry a mamzer. But the point is, that's the difference. That's the difference. Roif cherim or roif sulim. The Eit Mabahach, and conversely, if Rav had only given his opinion by the case of the Arusa, you would argue, Bahach Ka'am Rav. Yes, but you could argue Rav has a different reason to say that it's more likely that the child is a mamzer. Aside from the fact that Roif stole the metzla, as we just said, there's another consideration also. The opposite. If we flip around the opinions and we say Arusa She'ibra, Rav says the child is a Shtuki, and therefore also to marry a mamzeret, we could argue that it's true. There is a consideration we just said, Roif Sulamet. So it's a very great likelihood that he's a mamzer. On the other hand, we can consider that the fact that she's an arusa, on the other hand, in a way makes things better for the child. Why? Mishum de ikad lemitla ba'aris. So there's a logical reason to say, who is she pregnant by? Probably the aris. Yes, based on statistics, most of the men in the world would be forbidden to her and the child would be bound there. On the other hand, the likelihood is that it was with her aris. And therefore, there's a good chance there that the child is not a mamzer, and therefore they should be also to marry a mamzer. But in the other case of the Pnuya in our Mishnah, again, Ema Moidi L'Shmuel, you would argue in that case there's no Orus to assume that she had relations with. Maybe, after all, she did have relations with some Potter, with some mamzer, or what have you, and therefore maybe you would think Rav has more of a reason to agree with Shmuel that this child should be able to marry a mamzer. Therefore, we needed both cases. And the Gemara continues, the Iboi Sema, or another possibility, you could say, La'olam lo tepoch, but after all, let's say you don't have to flip around the opinion. You could say that in the case of our Mishnah, in the case of a Pnuya, Rav is saying, again, if I'm like Rabbi Yezer, that a Shtuki who's born from a Pnuya is not allowed to marry a Mamzer, whereas Shmuel would say he is. Whereas in the case of the Arusa, it would be the other way around. Rav would say that the child is for sure a Mamzer, therefore presumably Mutter to marry a Mamzer, and Shmuel would say he's a Shtuki. Because of my mamzer from a Rav, because you're thinking when Rav says that the child from the Arusa is a mamzer means 100% definitely a mamzer, therefore allowed to marry a mamzer. No, maybe that's not what he means. Lav mutter b'mamzer, elo d'osa b'mafisro. He doesn't mean a mamzer l'kula in the sense that he can marry a mamzer. Just l'chumra in the sense that because he's a sophic mamzer, he can't marry a b'mafisro. But he also can't marry him.
Not that he's a
father. Not that he's a father, mamzer. So he'd be stuck in between. He can't marry a baki tzor because he might be a mamzer. He can't marry a mamzer because he might be a kosher. Yeah. Or Shmuel amav lav shtuki, where Shmuel would be saying that he again he marries a biyaris or he marries a shikum and shikreres. Yeah. Okay. And we talked about yesterday the possibility that maybe he can marry a shikum provisionally and then be mashakra her provisionally. That's yeah. Okay. Then we would continue when Shmuel says a child in that case is a Shtuki, also means in the sense that he's also to marry a Bat Yisrael. Well, then the question is, then Rav and Shmuel are saying exactly the same thing. They're saying in different words. Rav is calling him a Mamzer, meaning a Sopik Mamzer. Shmuel is calling him a Shtuki. The Shtuki is also a Sopik Mamzer. It amounts to the same thing. Ella, no, we have to give a different answer. My Shtuki, what does Shmuel mean when he says the child is a Shtuki? We're not talking anymore about the issue of whether he's allowed to marry a Bat Yisrael or a Mamzeret or what have you. We're talking about Shemeshakin Oisim Idin Kahuna. We had this concept before in Subas, I think, in Yevamos maybe, that we silence him from the Din of Kahuna. Meaning, we talked about in Yevamos, we had a case where a woman was Mizana with any of a bunch of Kohanim. We know for sure that the guy she was Mizana with, again, she's a Pnuya, she's not an Anshe Tisha or whatever. We know for sure the only men that she could have been Mizana with are Kohanim. So obviously, but you would think the child necessarily has to be a Kohen. Nevertheless, since we don't know who his father is, we said they're Meshachinoz in Kohuna. We silence him from the Din of Kohuna. He's considered a Kohen. He's considered a Kohen Midoraisa, obviously. He still can't marry a Grusha or a Halala or what have you. But we're mocking on him. We do not allow him to act as a Kohen, to serve in the Beit Mikdash, for example.
Can he eat Truma?
Same thing, not. We talked about it there. I think we said he can't. So that's what we mean. When Shmuel calls him a Shtuki, we mean in the sense that, again, if Pnuya had relations, again, let's say the men that she had relations with, all of them are Kohanim, so you would think necessarily then the child has to be a Kohen. But no, Shmuel is saying he's a Shtuki in the sense that even though we know he's a Kosher, he's possible from Kohuna. Yeah. Okay, the question is Pshita. Well, of course. Actually, the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is assuming that we're not talking about a case where it's all possibly Kohanim. There could have been Kohanim that she was Mizana with. There could have been Yisraelim. There could have been other people. So that's the question. Pshita, well, obviously. Obviously, he would be Meshach, you know, so Midin Kohanim. We can't possibly consider him.
Because she could have been with Yisrael.
If we don't even consider him to be a full-fledged Yisrael, because the man she had relations with might have been a apostle, we're not talking about a case of a city of all Kohanim. We're talking about a city, an average city, that has Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Mamzerim, Nesinim, etc. Yeah. So, Meshachin and Lay, and then yet we say that he's not considered a full-fledged Yisrael. We can't allow him to marry about Yisrael. We didn't call him a boy. What would be the Chiddush? Of course we don't allow him to function as a Kohanim. We don't even know if his father was a Kohanim. Ella, no. What we mean is, We mean, in a sense, we silence him from his father's nechosim, meaning we do not allow him to yarshin from any person that we might from any person we might assume is his father.
What has that got to do with the whole thing?
That's what we're saying. When Shmuel is saying he's a shtuki, he's not talking anymore about the dinim of yuchsid, whether he's allowed to marry a bat Yisrael or not. He's talking about he's a shtuki in the sense he can't inherit.
A shtuki cannot inherit?
Well, that's what we're saying. Then the question is, Pshita, well, of course he can't inherit from his father. Look, we don't know who his father is. How could you allow him to inherit from his father? The whole point is, and by definition, shtuki, we don't know who his father is. The answer is, loy tzricha b'tocha. Fine, but Shmuel's chiddush would be, what if he grabbed a hold? Imagine, for example, again, let's say we're not talking about Pnuya anymore. Let's say we're talking about an Arusa. Let's go back to the case that we're talking about the case of an Arusa turns up pregnant. Again, the father could have been the Arus, in which case the child would be kosher. Well, maybe, maybe not, but on the other hand, most of the people that she could have been with are psulim. And in fact, the child would be a mamzer. What we're saying is, let's say this artist dies and leaves an estate. Now, let's say this child, who may or may not be from this artist, goes and grabs a hold of the property. And he argues, look, I have a chazak on it. You want to take it away from me. You will have to prove that I'm not his son. Right. Well, that's what Shmuel is saying. That's Shmuel's chiddush. Even in this case, we would take it away from him. We would not say the usual rule, anybody else would have to prove it. He's assumed to not be the son of the artist for that.
Not be the son of the artist.
Right. So fine, we can't consider him for sure a mamzer and allow him to marry a mamzer. After all, he may be the son of the artist and then he's a kosher. So therefore, we still have to consider him that he's also to marry a bat Yisrael. But what Shmuel is saying is, I'm not just agreeing with Rav on that. I'm adding another detail that there's no way that he's going to be able to get the Yerusha of the putative father.
Because
after all, there is that suffer. Yes, it's fine. He was toifus. He does have a chazaka on it right now because he did grab a hold of it. You would think the family from the chavela of Raya. We don't say that.
So the suffix here is more important.
Yes. The Eboy thema, or yet another possibility, when Shmuel says Avlad Shtuki, my Shtuki Baduki. That Shmuel would mean that he swaps out the word Shtuki for Baduki, like we said in Abba Shoal's statement in the first Mishnah, Shabotim Asumai, meaning that according to Shmuel, we can interrogate the mother, Vaymeris the Kosher Nivalti. If she says, I had relations with the Kosher, so in the case of an Arusa, it would have to be that I had relations with the Arus, Nemenis, we can believe her.
And if not.
So therefore, again, Shmuel would be arguing with Rav. He would say, Rav is saying the child is a mamzer, or at least a suffix mamzer. Doesn't matter whether you ask the mother or not, she has no nemons. Shmuel would say she has nemons. Yes, sir. Then the question is, Kaman, then according to who is Shmuel, Kerem Gamliel? Evidently, Shmuel holds like Kerem Gamliel, which we quoted yesterday, and we're going to quote again now. The question is, what does Shmuel need to say it for? Shmuel already told the Tos once that he holds like Kerem Gamliel. Ditznan, the Mishnah from Ksuvus, if a woman is pregnant, and they ask her what's the status of this child, she says, it comes from such and such a man, and he's a Kohen, or some other Miyokos. Rav Gamliel and Rav Eliezer say, we do believe her, therefore, she's not possible of a Kohen, and we discussed yesterday the question whether the child is also Kosher the Kohen. Rav Yeshua says, we don't believe her. It's actually the expression of the Mishnah over there, Lo Mepia Anu Chayin, we don't live by her mouth. Meaning that, again, there's an expression, meaning that we can't trust what you're doing, yeah? And Shmuel said, and Rabbi Yehuda tells us in the name of Shmuel, the halacha of Rabbi Gamliel. So we know already Shmuel holds like Rabbi Gamliel. What does he need to repeat it again for over here?
What does Rabbi Gamliel hold?
Rabbi Gamliel holds that ne'emenes, that we ask her, and then we believe her. The answer is tzvicha. Still, we need Shmuel to say it twice. The mehasim, because we only had that Mishnah in Ksubas, have Amina Hossam Rav Sheda Metzla. The difference is that in Ksubas over there, again, we're talking about a Pnuya. Most men that she could have been with are kosher. The child will not be a mamzer in the vast majority of cases. Therefore, you could argue that fine, they're men. Aval Hocha, but in the case of an Arusa, the Rav Ksubas Metzla, again, most of the people, because any other man in the world is also to her except for her Arus. You would think that maybe not. So therefore, Shmuel has to tell us that he holds like that in both cases. Both the case, just like we said yesterday about Abishol, or 2 days ago, we said about Abishol, that he holds both by Pnuya and by an Arusa. Shmuel is saying the same thing.
Why did they hold that also by an Arusa?
Because Shmuel is saying that, Shmuel is saying that after all, Baduki, she has that. We can ask her if she says Bakosha Nivalti, that's good enough.
Yeah. Even the Rav is against
her. Even if the Rav is against her, right.
Why is that?
Because he, So actually, I mean, we discussed in Yinxulas over there, we discussed briefly yesterday, to what extent does her nemonis apply? Does it apply to herself? Does it also apply to the child? But yeah, I mean, they say, look, you know, she's a bach das, we're able to ask her, therefore, yeah. And we did learn at the end of the first paragraph, so that's over there, we learned that actually, as far as the child, in order for the child to be kosher b'kohana, you the halacha is you're going to need trei ruvi. You're going to need that most of the people in the city are kosher, and also that most of the people she could have been with are kosher. Then we say the child is kosher b'kohana.
She's believed.
Well, as far as the child. As far as the child. Right? As far as herself, we don't even need trei ruvi for that.
What do we need?
We just need one. Not even one, right? We're saying you need biduki. You need to be able to ask her.
Ask her.
Yeah. Now, the last thing our Mishnah had said, the Mishnah had said, what are the sfeikis? We said shtuki, astufi, and kursi. So now we're going to discuss the kursi and why a kursi is a tzar. Now, the background, you know who the kursim are. They're the foreign colonists that some traders imported in Eretz Yisrael after he exiled the Eretz Yisraelim. They started out as Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They were attacked by lions. So they sent word to some traders that the local god is angry with us. He sends a kohen to teach them, and they learn about Yiddishkeit. The pasuk says they still continued worshiping Avodah Zarah, Mahavil, alongside the Amish.
Why did they were sent to?
Beresh Sancheirav. Originally, that was his policy. He would deport people from one place and import people from a different place. That way, they're less likely to rebel against him. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, v'chein Rav Elazar, remember Rav Eliezer, it might be Rav Eliezer, might be Rav Elazar, whatever, but it's the same thing, Rav Elazar says, kusi lo yitza kusi. A kusi, he says, is not allowed to marry a kusi. Now, on a practical level, I mean, the kusim didn't exactly usually listen to the chachamim, so when we say kusi lo yitza kusi, it's not like on a day-to-day basis this would have a nachimina and halacha. But if you have kusim who want to listen to what the chachamim are saying, they want to keep, then we would tell them nothing. My time, and why would that be? Because the Kusim have already been living there for hundreds of years
in Israel,
to a certain, and it's hundreds of years since the original Gerus, to a certain extent, we consider them like as if they were, at this point, we consider them, they appear to be full-fledged Jews. So the same principle as a ger, that if somebody's ancestors were gerim many generations ago, after a while we say they're no longer considered gerim for any purposes. We treat the kusim for this purpose, the equivalent of gerim after 10 generations. The Tanya, the learner of Naisa, ger ad asara duris mutter b'mamzeres, a ger up to 10 generations is mutter with a mamzeres, and there is, by the way, a machlokes rishonim what this means. Does it mean even you had one ger 9 generations ago married a bat Yisrael, and their child married a bat Yisrael, and so on and so forth? We're still saying that they're allowed to marry a mamzeres, or are we saying that Rambam holds that no, we're talking about if a ger marries a geyurus, and in the next generation also the ger marries a geyurus, and so on and so forth. So they've been Jews for 10 generations, but in each generation it was always a ger and a geyurus. There's no native Jewish blood mixed in, so to speak.
As opposed to
everybody else would say that it means even the ger married a bat Yisrael and the trans married a bat Yisrael and so forth. Anyway, ger ad asara duris mutar b'mamzeres, he's allowed to marry a mamzeres. Mikanva elach osu b'mamzeres. After that point, he's not allowed to marry a mamzeres because at that point he's really indistinguishable from a regular Jew. After 10 generations, it's all been forgotten. The yesh oimim actually shtak Hashem avodas kochavim menu. Yesh oimim that no. Only, it goes even beyond that, even beyond 10 generations.
Until, as long as
it's recognizable that he's descended from Goyim, then he can still marry, then the descendants can still marry him up there. It depends. I mean, if people are living in the same place for hundreds of years, then yeah, it's more likely, you know. And Lahavdil, you know, you have Goyish families in many parts of Europe that can trace back their ancestry a good many generations because they've been living on the same land for 1,000 or 1,500 years. We Jews have moved around a lot, so not so much. Usually it's rare that a person is able to trace.
Hundreds of years in the same place.
But you have people who are able to trace back many, many generations, but after a while it really gets pretty rare. But anyway, the point is Rabbi Yosef is saying the kusim are the same thing. So therefore, what's the point? In other words, so you may have different mafarshim talk about the details what we're dealing with over here. One possibility is, imagine you have, let's say, among these kusim themselves, you have ones that are known to be more like Yisraelim, others that appear to be more like that may be more like goyim. So therefore, if you allow a kusim to marry a kusim, people are going to think that Jews and goyim can intermarry, and therefore it'll be able to say that up. And there's about three or four different ways that Mephoshim learn exactly what Rabbi Yosef is saying, how he would explain what exactly the problem is with the Kursi and the Kursi. That's one of them. Okay. Omalei Abaya, however, Abaya says, me dummy, how can you compare it? Hossam ger yashan am ger
what?
Compare this to the case of a person whose ancestor 10 generations ago was a ger. How can you compare it? Hossam ger yashan. Yeah, a ger to mamzeret.
To
a mamzeret. Hossam ger yashan am mamzeret chadosha. There you have the case. The ger is the ger's descendant, rather, is somebody whose ancestor 10 generations ago was a ger. So he's an old ger, is of old time already in the Jewish people. Well, mamzeres chadasha, and you're talking about a newly minted mamzeres, meaning a mamzeres who everybody knows is a mamzeres, as opposed to a ger is a ger yashan, who's barely distinguishable from a regular born Jew anymore. Amri, so therefore, people are going to say, Bar Yisrael, it becomes a mamzeret. People are going to mistakenly think that a regular Ben Yisrael is allowed to marry a mamzeret. You can't do that. Also, in the case of Kusim, what's the problem? Both Kusim are on the same level. Either both of them should be considered Yisraelim, or both of them should be considered Gerim, or both of them should be considered mamzeret, or both of them should not be considered. Why are you saying one might be considered a Yisrael and the other mamzeret, or whatever? Now, Ella, he also said, Dimi Omer of Elazar. So therefore, no, we have to explain like this. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rav Elazar said, he said as follows, Rav Elazar Savalok Rav Yishmael, you should know, Rav Elazar in our Mishnah, who says that a Kusi cannot marry a Kusi, he holds like Rav Yishmael, Rav Yishmael Savalok Rav Akiva, and in turn, Rav Yishmael agrees with Rav Akiva. Rav Elazar Savalok Rav Yishmael, namely, Yama Kusim Geira Arayase. We have Machlokas in a number of places in Shas. We talked about it in Yevamos, for example. Are the Kusim considered Geire Arayis? Are they considered that the Geirus was never valid really in the first place because they only converted out of fear of lions that were attacking them, and therefore they're still considered Goyim?
What's this Geir Arayis?
Arayis means Arayis with an Aleph, meaning lions. Geirim of lions. As opposed to, do we say, maybe Geire Emes? Maybe we're saying, yes, originally they converted because of lions, but afterwards they converted properly and became full-fledged Jews. Now, it is true that the Pasuk says they continue to worship Avodah Zarah. However, if we say that they're Gerei Emes, what that means is they're the equivalent of a person who became a Ger, and then afterwards reverted to worshiping Avodah Zarah. He's still considered a Jew. He's just considered a Jew who's sinning. If we say Gerei Emes, that's what it means. So, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Kusim of Gerei Arayis, therefore, in other words, essentially they're considered Goyim, And so Rabbi Elazar agrees with that. Rabbi Shmuel, Savalok Rabbi Akiva. And further, we can say that Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Elazar, with Rabbi Akiva. Dama, Oyvit Kachavim, Ve'Evid Abba, Bas Yisrael, Aflad Mamzer. Who says that if a Goy or an Evid has relations with a Bas Yisrael, the child of a Mamzer, therefore it comes out, if you put together those two opinions, it comes out that the Kusim are all considered Mamzerim. So therefore, but that's the thing, they're only Sufik Mamzerim. They're only Suffolk Mamzerim. Maybe this particular Kusi is descended from a Bas Yisrael who was married to a Goy, who was married to a Kusi, who for this purpose is considered a Goy. Maybe not. He could be that he descended from a Kusi and a Kusi, where they're both Goyim, and then he's considered a Ger. So therefore, so you can't be sure. Therefore, you can't allow a Kusi.
This Kusi could be a descendant of Bas.
This Kusi could be married, descendant from a Bas Yisrael who married a Kusi.
And then he would be
a Mamzer. No, Suffolk Mamzer. According to Rav Akiva, such a case would be a Vade Mamzer.
According to
Rav Akiva. But he would be a Vade Mamzer. But the other one could be from a Kusi and a Kusis, where therefore he's not a Mamzer. He's not a Mamzer. Tosfos discusses this at some length. Tosfos doesn't really like this explanation of Rashi's on various grounds, and the Tosfos explains differently. Look, we're saying that there may have been Jewish women who married Kusi men, and we're saying that in that case, the child, according to Rabbi Akiva, would be a Mamzer. Well, by the flip side also, you can have, for example, there were also Jewish men who got mixed in among the Kusim, because not every single person got deported from the land of the Aseret Shvatim. There may have been remnants among them who were full-fledged Jews, so
who married
Kusius. So then what are you going to have then? You still might have among these kusim, you can have all four possibilities, right? You can have that this particular person who's thought to be a kusi is really descended from a Yisrael and a Yisraelis, and therefore he's a regular Yisrael. He might be descended from a kusis and a Yisrael, and in that case, if we're saying Geri Arayis, then he'd be considered a goy. He might be the other way around, from a kusi and a Yisraelis, and in that case, we would consider it a mamzer. Or he might be from a kusi and a kusis, and then he'd be considered a gift. Because of all those, because of you, so you may end up with a Yisrael marrying a mamzer. You can't allow that. Therefore, that would be, if we put those two opinions together, yes. So that would explain what Rabbi Elazar is saying in our Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, why he's saying that a kusi can't marry a kusi. That's the subject. Okay. The problem is, we suffer like Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Are you telling me that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva, that the child of a goyish father and a Jewish mother is a mamzer? But we find that Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, how do we know that if a goy or an eved had relations with a bas koyin or bas levi or bas Yisrael shepaslua, that they make her possible to marry a koyin or to eat truma? Shenema, the pasuk says a bas koyin kisi yamon or grusha. The pasuk says if a bas koyin becomes a widow or a divorcee, v'zera einma, and she has no children, then she can go back to eating truma. Implying that this only applies if she was previously married to somebody who the concept of being a widow or the concept of being divorced from him applies, meaning any kind of Yisrael, as opposed to a goy or an eved, we're not, and therefore the goy or the eved would pass on her, regardless whether she has children from them or not. Now, if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rabbi Akiva, that the child of such a thing would be a mamzer, what does he need that limit for? Hashta mamzer habi. If Rabbi Akiva holds that the child of such a thing would be a mamzer, the child of an eved or a goy and a bas Yisrael is a mamzer, mifsul will be off mibaya. Of course, the eved or the goy would pass over her with his bia. And like you said, because the child is a mamzer. That's a, yeah. Ela no. So we have to answer differently. Rabbi Elazar sava like Rabbi Shmuel, dama kusim geri arai. It's fine. Let's start out fine. We'll still say Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Shmuel that the kusim are geri arai, and therefore they're considered goy. But we will say differently. The Sava like Rabbi Akiva, we will say that Rabbi Elazar, not Rabbi Shmuel, holds like Rabbi Akiva, because that gives us the problem that we just said. Rabbi Elazar himself holds like Rabbi Akiva. So again, putting together the same two, all we're changing is we're saying instead of having to say that Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Akiva, which creates a difficulty, fine, we'll say Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva. The point is, he holds like Rabbi Shmuel in the one issue, he holds like Rabbi Akiva in the different issue. Putting those two things together yields that the kusim are, that all the kusim are a suffix, and therefore a suffix can't marry a suffix. The problem still is, when we suffer our Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Akiva, still, how can you say that Rabbi Elazar holds like Rabbi Akiva in this regard? Rabbi Elazar himself says, even though Bishama and Basil argue as far as Tzorei, the whole case that we had in Yavama is the case of a Tzorei of an Erva, that Bishama says you can do Yibum v'chalitza with her, and Basil says you cannot. If you do Yibum, it would be Osir. Moedim, the child of such a thing, according to Basil, it would be Mamda, because it would be Eishas Achiv, where there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Moedim, but both of them agree with each other. They both agree, but Shama and the Sibyl, that a mamzer is only created by somebody where there's an Isur Erva and where there's Karis, and it's a basin involved. Meaning, basically, the opinion of Shimon HaTimni. That's not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that Chayve Lavin, or even Goyim or Avodim, can create a mamzer. So obviously, Rabbi Elazar disagrees with that, because he's saying that Shama and the Sibyl both agree to the contrary. And if he says that Shama and the Sibyl both agree to the contrary, then there's no room for Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We'll stop over here, but the Gemara will continue tomorrow with the actual answer. We're going to say actually that we have three different opinions over here. Rabbi Shmuel, we're not going to say that Rabbi Shmuel agrees with Rabbi Akiva. We're not going to say Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Akiva. We're not going to say he agrees with Rabbi Shmuel. We're going to say that there's actually three different opinions. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar, what the deal is with Kusim. What the deal is with kusim? What exactly
separate opinions?
What exactly the psul is in each one according to each one of them in them? So we'll talk. Each one will give a different reason why we should say that a kusi is possible to intermarry with regular Jews, and that also eventually when we get to Rabbi Elazar's opinion, we'll understand also why he's saying that a kusi cannot marry a kusi. To be continued. Thank you.